Hello everyone, Editor Steve here. A quick note before we start. Aside from obviously being a little sloshed, my asthma seems to be really bothering me in this episode. I apologize for that, but blame my lungs. They suck. Also, the fake sponsors are a bit early. That's just to cover up a bad edit. Enjoy! Hello, and welcome to
episode number 31 of
Stories from Sackville. I'm Steve.
I'm Peter. And
I'm Norm.
Right. He's still Norm.
You remember this Norm. Guy from the last episode.
You remember Norm from past episodes.
I asked him if he was going to come back, and since he didn't want to walk home.
That's right.
He decided to stick around.
Hi, everybody.
He does only live around the corner, so walking home is not a big thing. It's not like he's walking between Beaver Bank and Beaver Bank and Spring Garden.
It is.
Exactly one?
It's 1.52 kilometers.
But if you leave from here, you have to go up that big ass hill.
There's a big ass hill. Yeah.
Yes. When I left from your place after a night of drinking, it was not that bad.
No.
I had to walk downhill.
Down. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So, I have no fucking idea what we're talking about tonight.
Get our fuck obligation.
Woo! Peter said Norm's going to be on the show, and I went, okay. What are we talking about? I don't know. It was okay. All right, fine.
Yeah. Norm, I said, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
All right, let's pick something that nobody can talk about.
How do you know your date with a pilot is half over?
You're a pilot, so you would know better than
that. Yes, enough about me. Let's talk about my airplane.
That would probably work for CrossFitters, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first rule of CrossFit is you always talk
Never
about CrossFit.
Never shut the fuck up about CrossFit.
Right.
So a CrossFit vegan.
The fuck do I lead with?
So thinking about what we could talk about with Normie that he would feel comfortable talking about, I wanted to keep it relatively basic. I don't want to say dumb it down.
Mm-hmm. You got to dumb it down.
Norm
I'm a bus driver.
He's a pilot. Come on now. It's not like you're a navigator.
It's true.
So for those of you who listened to the last episode, we talked about toys and candy.
See?
So
I get paid to be coordinated.
We're going
to
keep this
I'm a big boy now.
We're going to keep this episode just as simple, and we're going to talk about friends and friendship.
Okay.
And the reason I brought this forth is because everybody can relate to...
Having an idiot friend.
No. Yeah, but in...
Everyone has a Norm in their life.
But in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
From elementary school, junior high school, university, so on and so forth. So it's something that I think everybody can kind of relate to and share stories about. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Friends and friendship. And we can tie into films, movies, TV shows that... That play on that theme as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if only there was a TV show.
But
something about
you guys
acquaintances.
Yeah.
People hang out together.
I say that's not going to be the outro because I have another idea for the outro, but Steve is the editor, so that might end up being
the power.
I don't know.
The power goes to my head.
Before we get to that, Steve.
Okay, yes. We need to do
our
beer review. Right. So I bought the beer. Now I have to put my glasses on. I have not put my glasses on.
It says...
I got to put mine on, too.
Yeah.
We brewed Red Coat.
Okay.
The Irish way. You can read the next line. You got your glasses on now.
Yep. It's a comma, so it's not the next line. But next sentence. Hop for balance and drinkability. May it be the pint that settles your quarrels.
We don't have any quarrels, but we're going to drink it anyway.
It's Breton Brewing Company. Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. Yeah.
It's nice can.
Red Coat Irish Red Ale.
5%.
5%.
All white can.
With
silver accents, yeah. And a big red B on it.
Yeah, with a wheat.
5% is kind of weak compared to what we normally do.
With a grain, not necessarily wheat.
That's true. It's not necessarily wheat.
Could be Commander Riker.
Ah.
That was two weeks ago. Okay, so let's open it.
473 milliliters.
Mm-hmm. So these are cans.
Beer Hunter.
Yeah, so Steve, I know you wanted to make a comment about cans.
Well, yeah, because...
Well, it's dark. Go ahead.
That's lovely.
Say what you want to say.
Because you don't have to break out your dumb ass.
Well, we don't use the garbage.
We don't use the garbage. But
bottle opener anymore.
But if you remembered, you could not remember. You did not know how to use the can opener, the bottle opener.
I bought a brand new bottle opener. And
he did not know how to use it. It was the bottle opener.
The wine.
He didn't know how to do that. So I had to show him.
You were opening a beer with a wine opener.
No.
Well, it's the one that you get where it has the bottle opener.
Yes.
But he did not know how to use it.
I am just not that bright.
It's true. So
you're talking to a pilot.
Okay. So.
So we're talking.
We
need to do this. Yep.
You're going to hold it up. Take a look at color, clarity.
You have to take a sniff. Steve can't smell.
I cannot smell, yeah, so you're going to have to do the smell thing. I can gargle. So
I gargled it.
Cheers.
It's good.
Cheers.
Oh, my fuck. That's actually really tasty. Is it good? Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, the queen.
Freddie Mercury?
Oh, that is nice. And all the other queens, wherever they may be, yeah.
There's not a lot of bitterness
really
to that.
Really nice.
No.
Here's to RuPaul.
It's a bit of...
It almost seems like I don't want to say licorice, but a licorice-y taste to it.
It does kind of have a licorice-y. Yeah.
It's, you know that burnt bacon aftertaste you get with Guinness?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but a little bit more subtle.
There's a slight hint of carbonation.
Yep.
Not too much.
No, it's
not very bad.
Something you want to enjoy
head.
Cool.
Now, burnt bacon doesn't necessarily sound like a good thing. And that's the way I describe Guinness to Angie, my wife. So 2 weeks ago, she actually tried Guinness and was like, I get what you mean. But that's really good. All these years, you've turned me off of Guinness. Well, that's only because it's more expensive, honey.
That's because I wanted it for myself.
I wanted it for myself. But now that's the only beer she'll drink.
These beers are made for sipping. Like, you buy Coors Light, nice. Bud Light, Keith's.
You're drinking for effect.
Yeah, you're gulping. Mm-hmm. And it all tastes the same after about two.
Mm-hmm.
These have some subtle hints of flavors to them.
Yep.
So they're meant to be sipped and enjoyed. And probably also after a couple of shots of... whiskey as
mm-hmm.
we've
done. Yeah, there's the carbonation.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So,
gentlemen.
So, Peter, you're leading this one.
So my reason for bringing this forward is friendships. Everybody can relate to it, and I wanted to kind of touch base, and we can tell some personal stories. We can talk about, as I said, TVs, movies, et cetera, but friendships from the time you were young, what you remember, until... nowadays, and the reason I wanted to bring this up with Norm on the show is because we've mentioned this in past episodes. Over the past 3 or 4 years, Stephen and I, and Norm, and John, and Andrew. And we've brought Derek in.
The D-Man.
Yep. Have really Derek's rekindled friendships, and probably stronger now than ever in the past. Because growing up, Steve and I were more acquaintances.
Yeah, more acquaintances.
Yeah. in elementary, junior high school, and high school. And Norm and I knew each other.
We knew each other.
In high school, but we weren't really friends.
No, because you were a slave to your clique and what other people thought of you. Not what other people thought of you. Your perception of what other people
thought. Exactly. And we talked about that in a previous episode as well. So,
well, look at it this way. I don't think Norm and I ever spoke to each other.
Oh, we did.
Did we?
In high school, yeah.
Well, I said the same thing about John. I don't know if John and I ever talked, but... He's one of my better
like,
friends.
We knew each other. We knew each other.
Junior high.
We were not in the same junior high.
Sydney Stevens.
You went to Sydney Stevens?
I did, for grade seven.
Okay.
All right.
Half of grade seven. Right. That was the year we moved to AJ.
And Steve and I went to AJ, and you went to Leslie Thomas?
No. After the move.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up going to AJ. But right after that, my family moved out to Middle Sackville.
Oh.
And so I went to Sackville Heights.
Right.
And so Sandra Curry Sampson was my date for my...
Grade 9 prom?
Grade 9 prom. Cool. Mm-hmm. Or I was her date for her. Anyway,
well, you know
the way that works.
You're a
great woman. And I was absolutely overwhelmed.
Mm, well, that's a shame.
So further to that conversation, what I was going to say is, as many bad or negative perceptions that have come around from Facebook, I would say that...
We're actually friends.
No,
One of the best things that Facebook has afforded to me, and probably you guys too, is the ability to reconnect with people you haven't connected with in a long time. And that probably has brought, at least to me, and again, probably you guys... people who I consider to be my closest friends now.
Yeah.
Because Steve and I have talked about this. We started talking on Facebook 5 or 6 years ago prior to the Sackville High reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we all of us kind of started talking a bit. And then, Norm, you had a party at your house for Sean Smith.
I did.
That's kind of where we sort of sat and drank and talked together for the first time in 30 years and said, I really like these guys. And then Norm said, hey, why don't you guys come over?
You know, we can do this again. And
so
it's become
the three of us and John on Labor Day on that and same
D-man.
Year.
And then the D-man.
Well, then we added Derek and Andrew afterwards. And it's been phenomenal. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about friends. So let's bring in that fishing rod, reel it in. And go back to elementary school. What do you remember about friends in elementary school? We talked about Stephen Wilson in the past.
Of course, Stephen Wilson and Billy White.
Yeah.
Because it was different for me because I moved to Lower Sackville in 76.
From Halifax.
Yeah, well,
Fairview. Which is...
Mandeville Court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I came in grade 4.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of people. There were sort of like... People knew each other, and I was kind of the new kid.
You guys were in Cottle Park?
Yes. Yeah, Cottle Park.
And I was at Hillside Park.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
With guys like, you remember Phil Solos?
Yes. Yeah, Phil Solos.
Pat Kidson. Right across the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, married Catherine Gardine.
Across the street?
Yeah, they're still across
and Catherine went to Sackville Heights as well, I think.
She did, if I remember correctly,
Steve, back to you.
Yeah, so, you know, I remember, I mean, Todd Tomato was probably, I think Todd Tomato was one of the first people I met.
Yeah, and Todd was a year younger than us, but back then you could jump a grade if you were smart.
Yeah.
And Todd jumped into grade 3, I believe.
Yeah, because he was smart.
Right. So he would have been in
still
our
is.
Grade. When
still
you,
is, yes. And again, lives just up the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same subdivision as Norman.
And is a referee, but
he is.
We won't hold
he
that.
He just retired.
Yeah,
he just finished.
Yeah, he refereed in the major junior hockey Quebec major junior hockey league for about 20 years, I think.
And his wife Beth
mm-hmm.
Beth Wolliver was
Wolliver,
her.
Yes,
maiden name.
Her mom was my teacher in Sackville Centennial.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So it was. Mm-hmm. It's a very very small incestuous
community we live in, certainly at the time.
Yes.
Normie, you want to talk about elementary school a little bit? Friends you remember?
Well, I mentioned Phil Solos.
Mm-hmm.
He was a frenemy.
Right.
You said he was a bully at one
point. Well, only to me.
Yeah.
He probably saw me as a pain in the ass.
And you're probably about 6 inches taller than him.
No. Well, we're
now
about the same size, I think, actually. Now he's not. He's about 6'1".
I thought he was my height.
Was he really? Anyway,
junior high he was.
I've run into him every once in a while. He seems like a really cool guy. Back then, it was a frenemy thing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we'd get invited to each other's birthday parties, and he was the only guy I'd been in a fist fight with.
Mm.
I tried to hit him
in elementary school.
I tried to hit him with my tenor saxophone case at one point. Lugging a tenor.
You were in the band?
I was banned.
What a nerd.
I know.
I played clarinet.
Yeah, you were smart because it was a small case.
Oh, yeah. I had asthma. I could not play any instrument because I'd pass out.
Sucks to your asthma.
Jerks.
Yeah, I couldn't play either, but that was purely ability. back then, you're my best friend. Yeah. I just met you,
yeah.
And now I don't like you. Mm. But now we're friends again, yeah. And
anyway. I think that still happens today. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, almost 6, and it's the same thing. I mean, those patterns don't change. So and so was mean to me today, so he's not my friend anymore. And the next day, they're best friends because they shared a juice box or something. But yeah,
right.
Elementary school for me, and I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. My first best friend in elementary school is Rick Smith.
Mm-hmm.
We went to grade primary together, actually at Hillside Park, mm-hmm. because Cottle Park wasn't built. So I went to Hillside Park in grade primary.
Okay.
I went to Sycamore Lane in grade 1.
Oh, wow.
And then Cottle Park opened in grade 2, and that's where I finished.
And you were probably walking to all of them.
No, I took buses to both Sycamore Lane and Hillside, but walked to Cottle Park.
Okay.
So Rick Smith was my
back best then friend. You could walk.
Yeah.
You walk.
So Rick is still a good friend of mine, and he's actually very, very close friends with Pat, who we just talked about.
Okay.
So I see him still to this day. My other best friend in elementary school would have been Andrew Roberts, mm-hmm. and Drew, who we've talked
yep.
about, who, like Steve, moved into the school. But Andrew moved in grade 5. He came from Trenton, mm-hmm. Ontario. Steve was in grade 4.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew was grade 5. And the only other thing I want to bring up about my elementary school, and to this day I still feel bad about it, and I have apologized about it, and I'm going to talk about another friend of all three of ours who we talk about a bit, is Paul Stiven.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Teacher, great guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. fantastic guy. But
he listens to the podcast, so
yes,
we have to be nice.
For
hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul. For whatever reason, Rick and I kind of fell, I wouldn't say bullies, but we kind of bullied Paul a bit in elementary school. And it was, yeah. I think about it now. I mean, I'm 52 years old. I still feel terrible about it.
Right.
Some of the things we used to say and do to Paul. Mm-hmm. And the last high school reunion, I actually took him aside and apologized to him, and it kind of brought tears to my eyes. And he said, dude, look,
it
happened
ages
so
ago,
many years ago. It was ages ago. But I still feel bad about that and wanted to let him know that I felt bad about mm-hmm. it. So
the who we were back then, it did make us who we are now.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't define
and that's
us.
But that's on, it doesn't identify. Define you. It's your experiences make
yeah.
you who you are.
Yeah.
If you were bullied or you perceived you were bullied, it's how you dealt with that.
It's karma because I got bullied in junior high school. But we'll talk about that after. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Paul coming over to the house and I had a piano. And so he would want to try and write songs on the piano.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It was actually really entertaining. Yep. And I could say I was part of it. I had no skill.
And Paul's a funny guy. He's great.
Yes,
he is.
I used to borrow 8-track tapes from him.
Yep.
And not give them back?
No.
It's called stealing, yeah. actually.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
All right, so other than that, any other memories from elementary school, guys?
I can't remember what I ate for supper last
year. that's what you were worried about. I remember shit ton of things from. I could go on, but we're
yeah.
not going to.
No.
All right, so let's move on to junior high school in Sackville.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, actually, Hillside Park
yeah.
Had a lot of portables.
Yes, they did. It's an old, old school.
It was. You'd start on, if you were looking at the school, a big white building back then. Not anymore. It's a completely different building.
One level.
There were two levels.
Was there?
And then there was the basement. The gym was in the basement.
Yes.
Big concrete room with six massive metal posts. That was your gym.
We talked about that in the last episode. Yeah. Metal posts.
Metal posts. Only these things were big around and they really hurt if you run into them. So you had one play area in the middle that they had paved. And if you were not somebody that was really good at basketball or bigger than all the other kids, you played behind the portables. Otherwise, you were going to get done. And I remember playing back there, and Phil and I had had another falling out because that's just what happened back
there.
Ginny Bond.
Yes, I remember Ginny. Ginny.
Was really nice.
Because she went to junior high school as well.
And she was like, "Are you okay? You're an idiot, but or an asshole." I can't remember what she said, but are you okay? And the fact I still remember that today, it left an impression.
Yeah. My grade primary teacher was Mrs. Shaw, and she had a leather strap hanging on her wall. Back then, they still had corporal punishment. Yep. You get strapped if you misbehave.
Absolutely. Grade 4, Miss DeVille.
Her name
was DeVille.
DeVille.
Cruella DeVille, Cruella DeVille, if she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Anyway.
Mrs. Shaw was like 60 years old and gray hair, and she was a crotchety old witch.
She hit me with a big dictionary. She'd walk around with a dictionary, massive thing. Bam! Anyway, but yeah. I was aiming for your desk.
We had a teacher in Cottle Park who had a yardstick, and he would slap. I forget his name now.
Mr. Albright?
I think it was Mr. Albright. He would slam it down.
Jim Albright.
Yeah, and I remember one time.
It was, you know, it was for effect. I don't think he ever hit a kid, but
probably
almost. He almost did, because I have a story. But it would be, he'd slam it down, a little piece would fly off. So like it was a meter stick, but it kept getting shorter and shorter.
Because he'd do it just over the edge of the desk.
Because there was one point, and you're right, I'm sure he didn't intend to. But Leah Cole, Leah Cole Gillis.
Yes, God.
And she's a teacher now, too.
I was going to say, terrible in a classroom,
She was in the class.
Teaches elementary.
And I remember she had her hand on, she was just resting her hand on the table, and he came down, and she just managed to get her hand out of the way. Again, I don't think he intended to, but he almost, if he had it connected with her hand, it would have broken fingers, but she just managed to pull her hand out of the way. Little piece fell off.
And now a word from our fake sponsors.
Polaroid's One Step is the world's simplest camera. It's America's biggest seller. You just press the button. The sharp, clear color develops in minutes.
America's biggest seller, so you made it to the top.
Well, the camera did. I just went along for the ride.
I thought the One Step was your idea.
I made a few suggestions.
The camera you never focus?
No, they thought of that.
The motor that hands you the picture?
That was theirs, too.
What did you do?
Why don't you ask me about the little red button?
Red? You thought of red?
Hi, it's Cindy here at Papa Gino's. At Papa Gino's, we're not ordinary, we're extraordinary. Our lunch menu starts at $3.95 and our dinner menu at $5.95. And we'll make sure you're treated like the special people you are. And I know you'll leave with a good feeling. If you like Italian food, you'll love Papa Gino's. See you downtown at Papa Gino's. Bye-bye for now.
It is now 7:06. You have exactly 8 hours and 54 minutes to ponder the error of your ways. Any questions?
Yeah. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
A brain, a beauty, a jock, a rebel, and a recluse.
I can't believe this is really happening to me.
Before this day is over, they'll break the rules.
Chicks cannot hold a smoke. That's what it is.
Bare their souls.
I'm a nymphomaniac.
Are your parents aware of this?
Take some chances.
Being bad feels pretty good. Huh?
And touch each other in a way they never dreamed possible.
Why'd you do that?
Because I knew you wouldn't.
the Breakfast Club. They only met once.
I don't want to be alone anymore.
You don't have to.
But it changed their lives forever.
I mean, I consider you guys my friends. I'm not wrong, am I?
Universal Pictures presents Emilio Estevez, Paul Gleason, Anthony Michael Hall, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Ally Sheedy in a John Hughes film.
Why are you being so nice to me? Because you're letting me.
The Breakfast Club.
Wednesday.
Hello?
Hello.
Who is this?
Little Balky.
Get off the phone.
Perfect Strangers, then.
Hey, it's Ralph B. Boy.
It's a hilarious trip to all your TV favorites.
Isn't that Ding On territory?
Head over to class. Wednesday.
I am Conehead the Barbarian.
The fitness bug bites Balky.
Ah!
Perfect Strangers. Then the love bug bites Arvid.
Go for it.
Head of the class right after Perfect Strangers, Wednesday.
Wednesday, Perfect Strangers get some private lessons.
Nudity is no problem.
Let's party!
Dan.
Well, I've decided to let you grade your own papers.
A plus.
Head of the class. And MacGyver moves to his new night.
Hang on, everybody!
All this summer, he'll be turning tragedy.
MacGyver?
Into triumph. MacGyver.
Wednesday.
Wow. Junior high school.
God.
Yeah.
Which one? Sydney Friends. Stevens. I know. Sydney Stevens was kind of interesting because it had been a high school.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it was a junior high, so it had things like fully equipped labs.
So this is funny because Steve and I went to Sydney Stevens for that first half year, same as you did. And I don't remember you being there.
No.
Must have been a different class.
You
had hair back then, though, right?
I did. I had hair. And I was more like Cousin It. It was all hanging in my face. And anyway, lots of hair, very skinny kid. And
for those of you who don't know Norm, he's bald.
I am, actually. Funny you should mention. Anyway, you can't see it on radio.
Background.
I got a face for radio.
Face for
Look at the Facebook page. I just posted a picture.
There you go.
It's true.
There you go. What was his name? Charles.
Conrad.
Buford?
Yeah, Buford Pusser. Buford Pusser.
Charles Conrad.
Charles Conrad. Was...
he was about 5'11".
He was probably...
200 pounds.
Yes.
In grade 7.
Yes, and he was picked on... Merciless.
He was.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
He was probably the best friend I had in year in junior high.
Thick eyebrows. Yeah.
And I picked on him
guy,
and then realized what a sweet guy
he was. Massive. He's bigger than any of the grade nines.
He was Hodor, man. He was like you don't watch Game of Thrones, so we'll talk amongst ourselves. Anyway, he was a super guy. I had him over the house a few times, and he wouldn't hurt a fly.
No.
But they just were merciless. With this.
I remember that, and it's funny because Steve and I did talk about that in a previous episode. Yep. AJ Smeltzer episode.
Yeah. Yep. So that was sort of the circle, a very small circle of friends, like sort of hydrogen atom circle of friends that I had. Sydney Stevens was kind of cool as well because you had a massive field behind that no one really went to.
Sure.
You hung out in the bus circle or in the trees up the hill behind.
That's where all the fights took place.
That's where all the fights took place. Sexual
and the smoking
and the smoking and all the rest. Oh, this is our clearing.
Yeah.
What penalty are you going to pay to get out of our clearing alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only thing missing was
and it wasn't
sharp-pointed sticks.
It was not in the middle of the woods. There was no houses around.
There was no one to hear
and
you
scream. A pig's head on a stick.
Right. Exactly.
It was Lord of the Flies.
It was totally. Sort of where I was going with
that. I know.
All right, Peggy. That's the way it was. Man, it was. But in the school, you had great facilities.
Yeah.
And the teachers were really good, and they actually seemed to care. They knew you by name.
It was also
which blew me away.
We mentioned this before too, but it was also cool because that was the first time we had an actual cafeteria,
right?
Where you could buy eclairs or hot dogs or pizza, because we didn't have that in junior in elementary school, and our first ever school dances,
right?
Yes.
Huge booming sound systems and DJs and
the hand
disco
motions
balls.
You just made a huge booming. I knew her.
Still remember what it was like walking into my first grade 7 dance.
Because
you know, in elementary
and scared,
school, yeah,
listening to rappers delight.
Casey and the Sunshine Band. Yeah. Please don't go. I want to ask somebody to waltz. Junior high school. Steve, go.
I remember Mr. Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Bob Woods.
Yeah, and our...
He was our vice principal.
Yeah, he was also, he also did our health class.
Oh, God.
And I put health class in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was raining, we learned about erections. If it was nice out, we went out and played football.
We mentioned both Bob Woods, the vice principal, and George Hughes, the principal, were phenomenal football players in their high school years.
Yes.
So they were both, I think they both worked with the high school or the junior high school football teams. And I remember watching George Hughes throw a ball like 40 yards on a rope. And I'm like, Jesus, this is my principal. So I was kind of impressed by that. Steve and I have talked many times about. Junior high school and the things that happened there, and the different teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The thing for me that kind of came into play in junior high school was the, we talked about cliques, and that's kind of where they first started to make their appearances. And that's when you first started to kind of get lumped into a group.
Right. Well, other than elementary school was... boys and girls.
Right.
Yeah.
And you would fight amongst yourselves, but there was no firm...
There was a hierarchy of grades.
Right.
That was essentially it. But once you got to junior high school, you were lumped into jocks, cool kids, burnouts, nerds. Geeks,
nerds. Thank you very much.
Whatever. And you didn't have a whole lot of control over that. It was who you hung around with and what you did in your spare time.
Yep.
And that is... both empowering and taking power away.
That actually, that lumping in reminds me of in Sackville Heights Junior High, meeting Jamie Barrett, Todd Levy.
Yeah.
They're rolling dice that weren't just six-sided
cubes.
It's Dungeons and Dragons type dice.
Yeah.
And what's that? We're playing D&D. What's D&D?
It was not the Department of National Defense.
Not Department of National Defense. Dungeons and Dragons. That's cool.
Mm.
Ooh. And we're sitting in a class in grade 8, and I'm trying to get involved with this game, and Rusty Davenport...
Oh, he was a hockey player.
...walks by and goes, my candy. And he pops one of them into his mouth.
Yeah.
Chews for a bit, and... the fuck is that?
Yeah.
It's a dice.
He was
more a die.
If,
you more
if
die.
You look up 80s Canadian hockey player in the dictionary, that's Rusty Davenport.
Anyway, he lived almost directly across the street from me.
And
because he had popped a die into his mouth and thought it was candy, I got the shit beat out of me.
And the funny thing is, I, as you guys know, I played hockey at a high level, so I knew all these guys on that level, like the athletic level, but I really didn't consider myself in the jock type of a...
The rest of us did.
Well, Sporto.
I didn't, because I had other interests. I did my own things. And I, So
yeah, that's what just something jocks say.
Didn't matter in the 80s. As long as we saw you as a jock, you were a jock.
You were a jock.
Subdivisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get labeled regardless.
Of course. Oh, yeah, of course. You get,
yes.
But Steve and I were actually still friends in grade 7. There's a picture in our high school or junior high school yearbook, mm-hmm, of Steve and Billy White and Andrew and I just being goofy kids and wrestling.
That's true.
You know, but that time we get to grade 9, we were in sort of different cliques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but I think a lot of times you don't really get to choose.
No, you don't.
Where you end up, no, who you hang around with.
The choice is...
Made for you.
Yeah, you're not willing at that age to make a choice about your own future because there is no future, there's only the now.
Yeah.
You're scared shitless of everything going on around you. And... yeah, you end up, well, if you don't make a choice, life makes a choice for you.
Exactly.
So you end up where you're put.
All right.
Much like the Navy.
Yeah. I suppose it would be.
Yeah. It is. It really is. Yeah.
And then once you get to high school, it's kind of set. Yeah. You are the sporto person.
Yep.
Or you are
newspaper
the
club, yeah, yearbook, yeah, club, yeah, AV club. It's all the same.
And then it's even more poignant because at that point in time, it's 3 years before you have to start your life.
Yeah.
So you either run with what you're given.
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm, you buck against it.
Yeah, that's true. It's it is the way we grow up.
So let's talk about high school.
It is.
What was high school like for you, Steve?
Oh, high school was a horrible time for me. I have to say, you know, just and which says more about my own headspace.
You said that
it does kind of
a waffle.
Well, you didn't blossom until university.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you found your niche there.
Like I say, the fact that I did not enjoy high school says more about me, mm-hmm, than it does about high school, mm-hmm, right? Because, as I always said, people who play Dungeons and Dragons were cooler than I was in high school.
Man, right? We used to on weekends get dressed up and beat the shit out of each
I know you sticks. Were still yeah, cooler Citadel than Hill. Me.
We did on yeah. Citadel
You would
Hill.
Take wooden dowels and
wrap
them
with pipe insulation,
right? And duct tape.
My kids are like, "That's so cool! Can we do that?" Yes,
yes,
yes we can. Let me beat you with sticks.
I would just like to point out that my wife, my beautiful wife, mm-hmm, was one of those people.
Yes, she was.
And she was cooler than me in high school.
And she was cooler than all of us.
Yes, because she's very cool.
I've told two different stories about Karen from high school that I remember very clearly. The first being, again, referring to our friend Drew. In 1983, Andrew and Karen skipped off school to go see the premiere of Return of the Jedi.
No way.
They did, mm-hmm, on Friday. Mm-hmm. Both of them jumped on the Metro Transit and went to see the very first showing. And the second thing I remember, and I've mentioned this to Karen, she doesn't remember it, and Steve doesn't remember it, but when I was in grade 10, Karen asked me to waltz. Mm-hmm. And it was...
She never asked me to waltz. No,
and it was... Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
Ah, yes.
So our song.
The non-waltz. Yeah. Everybody's song.
Yeah, but
until right in the end, it's like, okay, let her go because you got to dance.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're dancing. I'm going, what the hell is this? I never heard this song. She goes, are you crazy? This is one of the greatest songs of all time. It's Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Just keep waltzing.
And waltzing back then was like putting your legs askew and then rocking
So the boy had two hands on each of the girl's hips, and he just sort of rocked and turned clockwise or counterclockwise.
Right, and it was stiff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your body was stiff too.
Yeah.
And
you weren't really, your private parts weren't really touching.
No,
there's about an inch between you.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if it was Karen, she would have said, are you fucking crazy?
She probably did.
She probably did.
She probably did.
Because she swears like a sailor.
Yes, she does.
Her father was a sailor.
She makes sailors. I remember coming over to Karen's.
I remember coming over to Karen's house and her dad saying, "Can you tie a tie?"
Yes.
And I'd say, "Yes, I can." He goes, "Come with me." And he'd give me...
He was Navy man too,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was Navy.
He was a petty officer, second class at this point.
Yeah.
But he didn't know how to tie a tie.
Yes.
So he gave me a bunch of ties and said, "Every tie you tie, I'll give you a drink of rum." I'm in high school. Shit, yeah. I'll tie some of them twice.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Well, my beautiful wife, Carmel, who we've talked about, her father was also a career Navy man. He was a coxswain.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a non-com, but he was as high as you can
go. As you can go, yeah. Chief Petty Officer.
Yeah. So high school for me wasn't too bad. I mean, As I said, I never liked to be pigeonholed, so I didn't really want to be in any one group. I kind of only did my own thing. I was a jock. I played high-level hockey, and then, as you guys know, I was also a very good paddler. But for me, it was those were my priorities.
Still a good paddler.
So those were my priorities. I didn't walk around puffing my chest out.
He blushes very easily.
Or advertising that. It just was what it was. And I'm just going to tell one quick story about how Carmel and I started dating. And this was grade 12. So it was the first school dance of 1984, September.
Yep.
And I and three of my friends went out and got our ears pierced that day. Rick Smith, we talked about earlier. Mark O'Toole and Mark Chapman. And back then, that was kind of really risque to have your ear pierced.
Yeah.
And my mother, I only had it for 2 days before my mom made me take it out. But I can remember coming to the school dance with my ear pierced and being at the foyer just outside the office. You remember as you walked in? And I had always had kind of a crush on Carmel, and we didn't talk a lot, but we were friends. And I remember being over there with the group of people and Carmel coming up to me going, "Peter Courtney, what is that in your ear?" That was like the first time she came up. And I was like,
Taking charge.
It was about 2 days after that I called her and asked her out on it. And she'll tell you the exact same story. And yeah, the rest is history.
I got one with Angie.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Angie Weir. I'd found out her name.
She was a year behind us.
She was a year behind us.
Mm-hmm. And so was Carmel.
I'm walking through the halls and I see this girl. Oh my God.
And for those of you who don't know, Norm and Angie are now married.
We are.
Well, all three of us are married to people.
Not to each other.
But to our high school sweethearts.
Right.
She's not my high school crush.
She's my high school crush.
Yes.
So.
I was just some douchebag she knew in school.
I see this girl and it's like, wow, I have never seen anybody better looking. I've got to learn who this girl is. And I see her go into the library. So I take the seat next to her. There was these round...
The only time he's been in the library.
Right. Well, Mrs. White.
Judy White.
Judy White. Was often there in the library. She was my favorite English teacher. Okay. And I'd hang out there to talk to her. So anyway, but they had these round tables with a divider. So it was like a cross. Everybody had a wedge of pie. You could have four seats and no one would bother each other. I saw Angie take a seat. And I took the square next to her. And
if we were in a rich community, it would be like Pretty in Pink, where you could send messages on the computer.
Yeah,
there was Andrew McCarthy
We had computers. They were these PET computers. It was maybe a 4-inch square of screen, and the monochrome, and the rest of it was a 100-pound machine.
Yeah. If 10, go to.
Right. You weren't sending any messages unless you could write in BASIC. So she takes the next one, and I'm sitting there, and it's like, shit, what am I going to say? Do you know anything about French? She looks at me and goes, no, not really. And I took that as an opening, and I said, well, you know, I kind of saw that you were looking at me in the halls. And she takes out these Coke bottle glasses, like these are huge, thick glasses, puts them on. Oh, yeah, bubbles. puts them on and goes, I'm sorry.
I didn't notice you at all. I'm blind without my glasses. And I'm like, oh. I walk away, and somebody's doing the 50 caliber machine gun. Crash and burn.
Crash and burn.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Top Gun.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So total fail there. Little did I know, she actually had seen me, but wanted to downplay it, I guess, by shooting me. And anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So, Sackville High in Focus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were starting this up.
Chad did that, too.
Yes.
And they were looking for people to do this. And so I signed in, and a buddy of mine was right behind. And it's like, I'm saying to him, like, we'll do it together. We'll sign into this. And Angie comes in, counts who's ahead, and looks at the names and goes, that's who he is. Chuck Barnes. He's Chuck Barnes.
For those who don't know, Chuck Barnes is another high school friend of ours.
Yes.
Who looks nothing like Norman.
No.
Very smart guy.
Yep.
Went to Harvard.
Yep.
Couldn't decide which degree he wanted, and he just got a whole bunch of them. Plays the banjo semi-professionally and has his life, as far as I can tell, completely in order.
Mm-hmm.
Married to a best-selling author,
mm-hmm.
Lois Levine. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. You should look up her stuff on, anyway, Romeo and Juliet. Anyway.
But he is not Norm.
No,
he's definitely not me, because he's a lot smarter than I am. Anyway,
so Steve.
Yeah.
It's not true. That's not true.
So we end up getting on Sackville High in Focus pretty much together, and we start dating. And
Angie, not Chuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, Angie, not Chuck. Sorry about that. And it's phenomenal. And basically, as soon as I got lucky, I dropped her like a hot rock. Mm-hmm. And so she held that against me. And
fair enough.
Decided she was going to get her revenge forever by marrying me.
Yes.
And she still is.
And she still is to this day, yeah. Five kids later.
Yeah.
That's good. What, mm-hmm. What else about high school for you, Steve, aside from being hidden?
Well, I mean, I used to hang out with Mike Higney.
Mike Higney.
Yeah, we've talked about Mike and
Mark Mike's, O'Brien.
Yeah.
Mike's memory for what happened. Phenomenal.
When we first started doing this podcast is when Mike's mom passed. And,
yeah.
Normie and I went out and had a coffee with Mike. And
mm-hmm.
He was bringing Mike's up names.
And we're like, wow.
When he brought him up, I was like, yes, I do remember that person. But yeah, he has a steel trap memory for the high school years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I know he listens to the podcast.
Here, he does.
And,
yeah.
And a big shout out to you, Mike. Mm-hmm. I know
yep.
you're suffering still.
Love you, buddy. For yeah. me, I mean, I guess by the time grade 11 hit and I made the decision that my biggest goal at that time was to go to Canada Games.
Mm-hmm.
That's when
you sacrificed everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. pretty much. And I'm going to bring the fishing rod, as I say, back in to talk about my wife Carmel, because we, as I mentioned earlier, started dating in September of '84, and then Canada Games were in '85, in the summer of '85, and by the time June came around, Mel had decided she was going to fall on the sword. And what I mean by that is she wanted me to achieve everything I ever wanted to achieve. And I was spending a lot of time with her
mm-hmm.
and the rest of my time training. And she said, if you want to do what I think it is you want to do, you're spending too much time with me.
Mm-hmm.
So she broke up with me.
That's quite the sacrifice.
Yeah. Mm. So
it was in high school.
It is very forceful.
You know,
and the thing that's powerful about that was, and to this day, I mean,
right.
I mean, happy ending. We found our way back together. But at that time, I was so invested and so involved in what it was I wanted to do with paddling that I couldn't chase her.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to, but I couldn't because I had said, I have to do this. And it's sad and happy. So we went our separate ways, and we didn't find our way back together for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. So Steve and I talked about this. It was the same thing. It was 2008 when we started communicating again. So we separated in 95, so actually 23 years, 2008. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're back now, so... I had a great time in high school. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of good friends. I don't say that to diminish some of the shit and the crap that people go through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just my experience, because now I can look back and see that we talked about this. Nostalgia is not always good.
No,
there's
no.
a lot of horrible things that happened to us as kids.
Yeah, there's
and it gets buried.
The only good thing is the things that happened to us back then. There wasn't an internet it could end up on.
Right.
To take it way out of way out of perspective.
Yeah. The bullying happened in the lobby or in the gym or outside the school. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you felt it.
It didn't carry on
intensely at that time.
Yeah.
But it did not carry on.
Yeah. Right. You could go home and
you could leave it.
You know.
You could leave it.
I'm calling in sick. Yeah. I can't go to school today, and it didn't follow you.
Yeah.
No. The kids today have so much to deal with.
This is turning into another dark episode, isn't it?
You get the
and then you die.
Then you get Ravine showing up at the school and people that can't get their hands apart.
Be a part of the entertainment value of a lifetime.
And they stand up and sing songs that they don't really know.
The hypnotist.
That was hilarious.
I remember the hypnotist,
That was hilarious.
Yeah. And people would be trying to get their hands apart. He'd be off having a smoke.
I sang Del Shannon's Runaway in gym shorts in front of the whole high school at the King of Hearts pageant.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, Todd Levy was like head camera guy for that. And
Deb.
Deb was in it, yeah.
Deb McDowell.
It was with the guys who were me, Darren Burke, Tony Goff, Neil Sedgwick, Mark Legere, Mark Chapman.
None of the jocks then.
None of the jocks at all.
Yeah. Jeff A.
Jeff,
God rest his soul, just passed this year. And Donnie Fleming.
Donnie Fleming.
He was in it too.
This is a good episode for name dropping.
We decided at the beginning we weren't going to name drop because we didn't know if people wanted us, and then we decided we're just going to name.
These are the people we know.
Yeah.
Yep.
These people all had a hand in who we are.
Yeah,
it's true.
Absolutely. How are we for time?
We're up to 51 minutes.
This is gooder. Probably not quite as long as the D-Man episodes, it's a good one.
Well, he's a lawyer, so he's used to talking
a lot. Get an opinion.
Yeah. You should have been in on that because we talked about Star Trek.
And MASH.
And MASH. Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest the outro.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest the outro, and I think you both will agree. Don't you forget about me.
Okay. You know, right.
Yes.
Exactly. Simple minds. That's perfect.
Absolutely agree with that, but I do have to say that there was a...
exactly. Do the fist punch under the uprights.
By Judd Nelson.
Eat my shorts.
The one thing I want to say before we go, and we talk about friends, one of the movies that encapsulates friendship is Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Based on a Stephen King short story.
Called
and
The Body.
The Body, yes. And I just want to read the quote at the very end, read by Richard Dreyfuss and written by Stephen King. And this kind of goes back more to...
Directed by Rob Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
Meathead from All in the Family.
Yep.
I never had any friends later on like the ones I had when I was 12. Jesus, does anyone... And it's kind of true. You think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about stuff now that happened 4 years ago and remembering it like it was yesterday. So, it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Shapes who you are. Thanks for coming, Norm.
Thanks,
Norm. Thank you for having me.
You want to come back again sometime?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Maybe we should have a boys' night.
Yeah,
we should.
Yeah.
I think
we should.
Sounds good.
We should record a boys' night and then not tell anybody.
Just one episode, right. We could do that.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, you take us out.
All right, I will. So say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yes, and I will pick an outro song.
Perfect.
All right.
I think we're going with Don't Feel Forget About
It. I think that's probably the choice. Yes. All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Goodbye.